Hello and welcome to Cultivate to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gunn, founder of Cultivate and Thrive. I am a self-actualization and mindset coach. I help Christian professional moms thrive in their reclaimed value as they cultivate a fulfilling and purposeful life. In these episodes, you will hear me share lots of information and experiences with you. Occasionally, I will bring on a guest to share what they've gone through and how they've handled things, or just something really interesting or fun. You can find me live on LinkedIn, the Cultivate and Thrive Facebook page, and the Cultivate and Thrive YouTube channel. You can listen to podcasts after they've been uploaded on your favorite podcasting platform. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for joining me. If you find something is useful, please share. Also, I appreciate comments and feedback and ideas of things you would like to hear more about. Thank you and welcome to today's episode. Hello, welcome, March. So, welcome. Today's episode is Faithfully Female, Navigating Personal and Professional Life as a Christian Woman. Now, I think it is very appropriate that March is Women's History Month, and I am speaking about this topic. As you know, a lot of times in personal and professional lives, we cannot share our faith or be who we truly, innately, and authentically are. But I do want to start out, as I was preparing for this episode this morning, I got out my Bible, and I think I've told you before, I have it in a nice case. It's just a paperback Bible. It's got my tabs in it, but a lot of times I will pray and ask God and the Holy Spirit to open my mind, my heart, and to use me as an instrument and provide me with words to guide so that God's word can show through me as I'm only human. So as I did that this morning, I really wanted to share this passage. So when I opened it, I came to the book of Sirach, chapter 33, and it's titled Property and Servants. And I'm like, what does this have to do with my topic today and the message that I want to get across? So I'm going to read Sirach 33, 19 through 20, and I want you to take this in. I think this is really important message. Listen to me, O leaders of the multitude, O rulers of the assembly, give ear. Let neither son nor wife, neither brother nor friend have power over you as long as you live. Let that sink in. And do jot that down so you can go back to that later. Again, Sirach chapter 33, verses 19 through 20. And I thought this was very appropriate because I'm talking about really navigating your personal, professional life as a Christian. We oftentimes give in to the control of others or what they want. And then I'm like, okay, so I just naturally look to the right, but what if there was something on the left side that I opened that God wanted me to share today? And lo and behold, I thought, yep, this is definitely more than one message given. So Sirach, it's actually chapter 32, and it's the providence of God. So I'm just going to read verse 14, but again, everything in the Bible is good stuff. He who would find God must accept discipline. He who seeks him obtains his request. So, and it's his lowercase, so it's his when they're talking about us, that when we seek God, we find our request. but we must accept the discipline. So I'm hoping that my message today will be intertwined with that message from God. I do want to say hello to a couple of people that have showed up. Please, I welcome comments with StreamYard, which I'm using. Sometimes I don't see all the comments while I'm live. I am live on a total of 3 platforms. So if I don't see you, do know that I will acknowledge you after I'm off the live. But I appreciate your attendance and all of your comments and questions. So do let me know where you're from and let me know if you are watching the replay. Good morning, Ronald. Thank you for the intro. And Ronald's from Maryland. And in the message applies to him for being a Christian woman. A lot of my messages apply to men and women, but women are my target. That's why I'm titled with that. But a lot of the things are just so applicable. And I told my husband I wouldn't, but Ronald, Gary said, if I see you, to say hello to you. So hello from Gary. Makes it more personal, right? And Marlene. Thank you, Marlene. Hello, hello. And it's not morning where she is. So again, so talking about the topic, navigating personal and professional life as a Christian woman, I do want to say that what I am, the message I'm trying to get across, as I always do, is that you need to be authentically you, whoever that is. Now, I know in some parts of the world, safety may be an issue or your job might be on the line. So please be careful that you're following through what you need to do to ensure your employment or your safety, but be as true to yourself as you can. And sometimes we just don't know ourselves because we are thrown into who we're supposed to be. We're molded and pushed that way all of our life. And then as we get older, we're like, oh my God, who am I? Especially if, you know, our identities are spouse or parents, something like that. Or if, you know, you're really, really tied to your job as your identity. And those things go away because we retire, kids grow up and move out. Maybe we no longer have our spouse either through divorce or death or something like that. And that's when we really start to question who we are. But I always talk about having that faith foundation, that that's an important part of who you are. And that should be nurtured as well. So I hope that the message I get through today are different ways to help you live as a Christian in every aspect of your life. When we're talking about what is faith, faith can be very abstract, and people often will either identify faith with a religion or totally separate it for whatever their personal reason is. But a faith is basically a belief in something. And generally, faith is belief in the unknown. Sometimes when you say you have faith in a person, it's with the unknown of what the outcome is, but you still have faith. You believe in the person, you know what they can do, and you have faith in the person. The kind of faith I'm talking about, and specifically for me, it's a Christian faith. And for many of you, it may not be, and that's fine. You need to have whatever faith you have. And I think you can apply some of these principles to whatever faith you are or religion. A lot of people don't like the term religion because they feel it's structured. And it is, as a Catholic myself, I know it's very structured. And what a lot of people have trouble with is really separating their faith from the human aspect of religion. I believe that we do need religion to help keep us structured, to help keep us on a path of whatever that path is for us. But we also have to know that whenever man is involved, they are fallible. They fall. They fail. They sin. We're all sinners. So don't let the wrongdoings of a person ruin your faith. And not necessarily, don't let it ruin your religion. Religion is more the practices and ceremonies and the more like written beliefs. Like the Christian religion has the Bible as a guide. And us Catholics have the Catechism of the Catholic Church. A lot of religions are based in tradition. But your faith does not rely on man. So know that. Yes, nice comment from Ronald. Alas, my wife is free from responsibilities in life-defining situations. More now trusting in God, who I am, and what shall I do now? Yes, that is such an issue, Ronald. I could preach all day. I think that might have been a calling for me. But if you know anything about the Catholic faith, women don't get to that period, that stature in the church. But anyhow, yes. So a lot of times we are told what to do, how to do it. We lose ourselves. But starting with a faith foundation, and a lot of us start young and some of us don't start with anything. Some of us find it. There's a lot of different paths, and whatever path you have, it's most likely the right path for you. But do take control of your journey. Right? You can decide which fork you take. And when you think about that, think about the person you're around, the people you keep company with, right? They talk about, you hear the saying that, you know, you are the five people you hang around. I can look back in my life and see that decisions were made that weren't true to who I was, but it was more true to the company I kept. And it took someone else, my husband, pointing out really that that's what was occurring, that I wouldn't have made some decisions if it wasn't for the influence of these people. So you do need to hold on to your faith as a foundation and don't let people determine it for you. And then we want to talk about faith in the role of personal and professional life. It's way easier to have your faith and to practice it in your personal life, especially if you're private. There was, when I had worked in a church many years ago in another state, there was an older gentleman who was very faithful, but he took one thing out of the Bible that said, you know, pray in private, and he believed you should not pray in public. So we had a lot of great conversations about that, but I believe that it needs to be done in both ways. And some of the simple ways I've taught my kids to actually practice your faith in public for people to see is that for us Catholics, the sign of the cross is a prayer in and of itself, but we often do it at the beginning and end of prayers. And when we're in a restaurant out eating, you still should pray before you eat, give gratitude for God and your blessings. And you don't have to pray out loud, but people know what that means. And you're showing them that you're still faithful. In your professional life, a lot of times it's harder, especially if you're in a company that wants to keep a good separation. But guess what? Jesus showed himself in many ways. He preached, but it was by his actions. And I think professionally, that is a wonderful way to show your faith, is by your actions. Being a good Christian, what does that mean? Treating people with dignity and respect, forgiveness, grace, graciousness. Yes. I want to go back to some of the comments to highlight. Ronald's talking about a personal relationship, right? We really need to know our God, know your faith, work in your faith. 2 a.m. Who are you, God? And who am I to you? Well, I can tell you for sure that the Bible has those answers, But when you pray, you also get those answers, which I'm sure you do know, Ronald. Marlene doesn't understand when people get upset with the type of job she applies. It's as if they want me to lower my standards, so she gets confused then why she sets goals for herself, and then she fails for the job she's applied. So it's hard when my faith fails me. Well, I think, Marlene, it's not your faith failing you. I think it's man. And again, God has given us all free will. And I know that in a lot of positions, I've seen it. People who are hiring, there are times when a company has already, so at least in the U.S., I can't speak for international. I can only speak about my experiences here in the U.S. The company already has a prospect in mind that they want to hire. Sometimes it's internal and sometimes it's external, but they are required to post the job to get in more applicants. Now, you can't prove that that happens, but it happens. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. So that does happen. There are times, too, when hiring managers are not looking for complementary people on their team. They're looking to build a team of all the same people. Or another thing that could be happening is that God is intervening. He does not want you in the place that you think you need to be. Sometimes he has other plans. Sometimes it takes us quite a while to figure out the plans he has for us. And sometimes it takes a lot of door closing in our face to find the opportunity that God has put out for us. When we're talking about Christian women, I think that the identity of a Christian woman is someone who is faithful, someone who is faithful to the people around them, someone who acts with love and kindness, someone who remembers right from wrong, and someone who definitely knows how to practice forgiveness. And again, that's very easy to do professionally without necessarily pushing your faith or religion in other people's faces, because that usually turns people off anyway. For me, probably 99.999% of the time, I do not leave my house without this necklace on. Now, I have three things on this necklace. This one, I was always, my crucifix my one daughter gave me. I love it. It's a very good depiction. This reminds me of what Jesus gave for me, for you, for all of us. And for Catholics, we very much wear crucifixes. They have a much deeper meaning than just the cross. So I wear this to remind me what my Savior has done for me. Plus, it's a sign to others that I'm a Christian, right? This metal here, it's a little, it needs to be really polished. Anyway, it's a Saint Benedict medal from Medjugorje. And this saint offers the saint of protection. And I was given to this by a friend, and I don't take that off either. And then my other little charm was given to me by my oldest daughter. And there's a little heart taken out of it. And she had the little heart to wear, which I think she lost it. And I have the heart that she came in. So even though she may not wear that little heart, I wear this. And it reminds me that not only is she part of me, but we're all part of something bigger. And we're all connected in that way. And this is another way for me to live my faith out personally and professionally, because no matter where I go or what I do, it's there. And it's actually sparked conversations and conversations about faith. When we look further into the intersection of faith and gender in society, many times, not always, the women generally carry the faith in the family. I don't have hard research or data on that, so it may have changed. But usually what I see is that the lead of the female in faith is how the family goes. Even though in the Bible, God has named the man to be the head of the church family, many times it's the women who carry it out. I don't know if anyone has comments about that they want to share, but that's definitely been seen. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in families. I've heard people talk about it. But again, I haven't looked at the hard numbers. So I think that really women generally are more in touch. And maybe that's because faith brings about feelings and emotions. And as men have always been taught not to have those, maybe it's easier for women to get in touch with their faith than men. I don't know. I'd love for people to chime in and give me some feedback on that. Maybe what it's like in your family, what you've witnessed, what your churches are like. There are, of course, when you go to a church, there's a lot of families. But really, who's the leader to get them there? That's my question. We want to talk about, when we're talking about faith in your personal professional life, we're going to talk about faith practices. Like I just said, one of mine is wearing this necklace every day. Another one was me praying and opening the Bible and reading it. I listen to scriptures in the morning. I pray before I get out of bed. So what kinds of faith practices do you have? It's important to have daily spiritual disciplines because these will really impact your life. First of all, if you begin your day in a spiritual mindset, right? Spirituality, you should be grateful. You should be in awe. You should be connecting. These are all positive things and positive ways to start your day. And that's how it will impact you. And it will remind you that when you come into contact with people or situations, to have grace and forgiveness. Believe me, I know. It's just like when you leave church and get in the parking lot. Everybody forgets they just went to church. That happens on the roadways here in Texas all the time. I have to gather myself and tell myself, Michelle, knock it off. That's not Christian. Don't let our humanity get in the way of that. And like Ronald said earlier, we need to nurture the personal relationship with God. It's not the same just to pray openly or attend community religious events or faith-filled events. We really need to have that personal relationship. What does that look like to you? What does that look like for you? What do you want it to look like for you? So a lot of people have problems just praying, but remember that prayer is a conversation. So when you pray, you're having a conversation. So like before I prayed on my Bible, hello, God, I'm very grateful for all the blessings you have bestowed on me. I am asking today that you use me as a tool to speak the words and messages that you want me to give. At the end of the day, you have a conversation. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've bestowed on me today. List them. List what you're grateful for. And if you have struggles, offer it up. Dear Lord, I had a really hard time with this today. Can you please help me? Help me to be more patient. Help me to be more kind. Help me to be understanding. Show me the way. Sometimes when you pray before you go to bed, you're going to wake up with the answer that you're looking for. Sometimes the answer that you're not looking for, but it's still the answer. But really having that relationship, that personal relationship, read your Bible, read the scripture. If you have friends or family that like to talk about your faith, talk about it. Yeah, here's Ronald. See, his wife brought him into the church she attended with her family, and my parents later joined. Okay, Ronald, I'm not a spiritual leader as I could be. I got drawn into the activities and away from my spiritual developments, and now in recovery, developing my inner life and personal faith. Yes, I am kind of with you on that, because I came really into knowing my faithful part of myself later in life, and I've had some opportunities to share. I've been a speaker at a conference, which I loved, and I love sharing the faith, but life guided me elsewhere, and I allowed it. Really, I allowed it, and I shouldn't have. And that's where our free will comes in. And the great thing is that there's always time. You can start again. Every day is a new day. So you can become the spiritual leader you want to be, that God wants you to be. And if you are still feeling that calling, Ronald, then you need to embrace it. Figure out how that fits in for you and do that. We always need good spiritual leaders in every aspect of our life. Overcoming challenges and doubts in the faith journey. I would say that it's not a faith journey if you don't have doubts, right? And the fact that we are human really increases the chance and the more opportunities and the more frequency of having doubts, because we're human. So I have worked in church settings for a number of years. And if you want to lose your faith, work for a church. People would apply for jobs at the church and think that, well, if you get hired in a church, you just go there and pray all day. No, there's work to do, and you work with people. So everything's not peachy keen, friendly smile, prayer all the time. It's not. So if you don't have a strong faith when you go to work in a church, you will either lose it or build it. And the same thing with everyday life and things that happen to you. You have the opportunity to lose it or grow it. And that choice is absolutely yours. So when you're overcoming, when you want to overcome challenges and doubts, like for me, I'm a learner and I love information. So it's researching it, learning more. I will read, I will listen. I love podcasts. I love to listen while I drive. Having conversations with other people about faith. So I'm just going to throw this out there. On March 19th, Ronald Henderson's going to be a guest on the show, a special guest. I have been watching him, and I've been watching him pray with people. I've been watching him talk about lessons from the Bible. And I want to have a deeper conversation with him, because he's got so much to teach me. I want to share that with all of you. And knowing that there's not as many open platforms with that really encouraged me to invite Ronald to do that. And I'm very grateful that he's agreed to do that. So mark your calendars for March 15th. But again, it's a great way to overcome challenges and doubts. Find someone to talk to. And it can be just a friend that has faith. It can be, you know, a Bible scholar, someone who's got degrees in theology. If you need to know specifics, it can be a priest, a pastor. You can listen to podcasts. There's plenty of religious podcasts out there. Read the Bible. There's many, many ways to grow and help you to challenge, to overcome challenges and to work through the doubts. And above all else, pray. Pray. Do not look for people to tell you what to do, because God is the one who will guide you. So you definitely need to pray. So Ronald, I was young and now I'm old, no longer willing to join the parade. I am called elsewhere. The needs are many. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Ronald. I agree with that. Again, we're raised to follow a certain path. And even though we're built, some of us are just built differently, not to go the path that we've been taught to go. But we're being called elsewhere, and it's never too old. You're never too old, and it's never too late, right, Ronald? So these are ways to deal with some challenges and doubts in your faith journey. I did attend a silent retreat before we moved to Michigan. It was a weekend long. I didn't think I could be silent that long, but I did learn more about being quiet, listening, and praying, because the way I'm built, I have a hard time just shutting down and making my mind be still. I had positive intelligence help me with that for the last couple of years. But before that, I had a really hard time with that. And the silent retreat helped lead me that way, because if we're not listening, we can't hear God. Now, integrating your faith into professional life can oftentimes be harder depending on the situation. One of the blessings of working in a church was that we started every meeting with prayer and ended every meeting with prayer. You can't always do that in all of your workplaces, but you can, if you want to, do a silent prayer anytime. You can go to the restroom and do it. You can do it in your mind. You can take a little break. There's many ways to add prayer time in it. And if you get a little prayer book that, you know, that has the daily prayers, you can use that. There's just so many tools out there that you can do it. Another way to integrate your faith into your professional life is by maintaining integrity and values in the workplace. There's a lot of places that are lacking integrity and values because it's all about the almighty dollar. The dollar does not, number one, buy you happiness. It does not bring you joy. There are still so many people who worship the dollar, and that's all their goal is in their business, is to get more money. They stomp on the people who are there to make the money for them, that are selling their products, dealing with their customers, providing the service, and they treat them poorly. Bring in your faith into your professional life by treating people with dignity and respect, by showing the values and living the values. People know you're a Christian by your actions. You don't even have to tell them. They'll know. You also need to, sometimes this is really hard for people, to balance your ambition with your principles. Right. So when we think about that, balancing ambition with principles, there is, and I know in the sales, especially if you're on commission, that is your goal, to get the most you can get, because it'll affect your paycheck. And let's face it, we all have mortgages or rent to pay. We all need food. We all need utilities. We need a car. We need gas, and prices just keep going up. So nowhere does God say not to make a living. But you need to do it while keeping your faith principles in place, right? The word is escaping me. Don't give in on your integrity. Don't do something that's against your beliefs. I know a lot of retail establishments, and you see it time and time again in retail. That person at the top, the store manager, and then some down, get bonuses for having less labor, for having a lower labor percentage to sales. Okay. They forget about the minimum it takes for people to do the job and to do the job well. They're so worried about the money that they treat their people like crap. So what happens a lot of times are the people who get paid hourly get no hours, and the people who are paid salary are worked to the bone. They're tired. They're mistreated. That is not bringing in faith principles to work and balancing the ambition. So you think about that. When there's a role that you want, you're very ambitious. Again, there's nothing wrong with ambition, but how are you going to get there? And how are you going to get there while still maintaining your principles, your values, and being a person of faith? Most likely, it's going to mean helping other people. It's not going to be focusing on you and what you can get. Remember, be a servant leader. Another thing that we often have in our professional life is ethical dilemmas and standing firm in our convictions. It's so much easier to give up and do what other people want. So are you standing firm in your convictions? Are you having to deal with ethical dilemmas, and how do you do that? I would recommend going back to your faith. What do you believe? And what's the right thing to do? Now, I can tell you to look at the consequences and take the easy way out, but that's not living faith-filled. Sometimes people need to be shown, and sometimes it's not a good outcome for you. That's why we have martyrs. That's why we have saints. People have died for their faith. What are you going to do for yours? As a faith-fueled female or person, when you're navigating your personal and professional faith, you can empower relationships and community. Think about ways that you can do that. You can build supportive networks within the faith community, right? At your church, or just people you know that have similar values. You can start communities within there. You can bring the communities out. A lot of church communities have small groups, and that's where they keep keyed into their faith and have that strength and support network. You can also navigate your relationships with your colleagues and peers. It's pretty easy to tell after you start getting to know someone kind of where their faith lies or where it's leaning to and how you can be supportive in that. Fostering mentorships and accountability partnerships, you can do that in a faith-filled way. When you mentor someone, you're going to share all of your knowledge with them. Be upfront about who you are. Don't hide yourself, because the right people will be attracted to you in your faith that have similar faith values or are looking to be stronger. And then you will find a good mentee that way. Overcoming challenges and resilience. We talked a little bit about challenges, but you really need to recognize what kind of obstacles do Christian women face? I mean, as women, being Women History Month, as women, we still have the obstacles of equal pay. We still have the obstacles of, are you going to have children? Are you going to leave us? Are you going to take maternity leave? You're too emotional. There's just so many things identified with women that make us weaker, when in reality, we are stronger. And we can use our Christian identity to help us support and forge the way and to overcome the challenges, to be resilient. We draw strength from our faith during setbacks. We draw strength from our faith during trials. God is there. Just ask for him. God, strengthen me. Wrap me in your loving arms. Help me see the light. The other thing we want to do is really make an impact in the world. So you're going to embrace opportunities for service and mission. Again, there's many different ways. You can go through your faith or church community to find these opportunities. You can look around your neighborhood and community to see how you can serve others. And you can do it in everyday life. Hold the door open for someone. Say hello and smile to someone. Ask someone how they're feeling, but do it with the intent to listen to the answer. Really connect with that person. using professional platforms for a positive influence. Most of us have access like this, and we can do that. A platform is also in any community meeting. A platform is your family. Platform is a neighborhood event. Again, your behavior sets the tone. Are you acting with integrity? Are you acting with values? Do people see Christ within you when they see you? That's ways you can definitely impact and make a difference. Living out the values of compassion, justice, and love. Also, so many people are searching for happiness and they think it's materialistic. They think money's going to buy it. Money doesn't buy it. So what I like to say is money buys happiness, but it cannot buy joy. So happiness to me is something that's external. Joy is something that comes from within. If you have that joy within, it doesn't matter your circumstances. You might have a bad day. Things might get rough. When you lose your job, it shakes your finances to the core. Been there, done that. But it doesn't have to take your joy, because that's an external thing that you can't control, but you can control your internal feelings. And you get that internal joy from your faith. And I get it from Jesus. I choose joy. No matter what the extenuating external circumstances are, have your faith to support you. And remember, God has a plan. Now, I've had this conversation with my husband many a times, and we go back and forth on that discussion. Does God have a specific plan for each person? Does he have time to have a plan for every person and to interject in every person's life? We may never know the answer to that, but God's time is infinite. And I believe that every person on this earth was created with innate, unique, innate talents that they develop into skills and develop into strengths to serve the greater good, to serve the community, to build up the community for God. We just have to find that within us. We need to develop that within us. God has a plan for you. And it's printed on your DNA. It's within you, within your talents. But you have to both accept it, nurture it, and live it. I hope I have provided some tips today to help you navigate your personal professional life, specifically as a Christian woman. I think it's important to be faithful and to live it and let people see it through you. I thank you so very much for your time. If there's anything that you see other people can gain from, please do share this out. And again, if you're watching the replay, use hashtag replay, and I will definitely get back to any comments. You have questions, reach out to me. You can see my backwards. There's my website right there. You can go to, you can message me. You can send me an email at cultivateandthrive@gmail.com. Be happy to have conversation. And again, my website, there's a place where you can, we can have a little chat also as well. If there's anything else I can do for you, please don't hesitate to reach out. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear more about, or if there's a specific person you think would be a great guest on my show, let me know. Maybe it's you. Have a great day, and remember to always cultivate and thrive. Be you.